Good morning, church family. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas with family and friends. Thank you for coming and being here this morning as we get to join together in worship. I'm going to go over a few quick announcements. We don't have a whole lot as we get into things this morning. If you happen to be a guest with us today, we're always grateful for your presence here with us and for allowing us to be your family for this morning. Guests, if you could take a moment, we would appreciate it if you could scan that QR code just so that we can have a record of who you are and we can reach out to you if there's something we can do. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for this to be a place that you could call home. So thank you for joining us this morning if you are a guest with us today. As always, we want to encourage you guys to be connected with the things that we've got going on, lots of ways that we have that. One is through these paper bulletins that we've got that hopefully you picked up on your way in this morning. Also, we have lots of online resources, our church website, youth website, campus ministry website, and then also our church Facebook page. Lots of good information on there to keep you guys up to date. Just a reminder, no children's church today, so I hope you're ready for that, moms and dads, just to be ready. But we will still have a children's offering right before we do the lesson this morning. So all of our kiddos, any age, are welcome to come up and give with that. And I'll remind you guys again, but the money that's collected will be going towards the tornado relief efforts for the children's offering. The nursery is open and available. First door on the right as you head down the hallway out of the foyer. Okay, this morning, as we get started, what a good chance to just take a deep breath and to kind of live in this moment that we're in right now. And I think this is a great time of year that we have to be reminded of so many things, so many blessings that we're surrounded by. And right now, getting to be the day after Christmas, I know for a lot of you it's a crazy, stressful, chaotic day. But I hope that today, right now, this is a chance, again, that you can just pause for a few moments as we come together to worship. This morning, as we get started, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8, and then what I'm going to ask you guys to do is on verses 9, 10, and 11, if you'll read those with me. So as we get started this morning, I'm going to ask if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Read with me. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time, for this place, for these people, for this family. Father, we thank you for your Son. That this time of year, we make a special focus on the fact that you sent him to this earth to be a man, to walk among us. And Father, as we over the last several weeks have talked about these stories of the announcement of Jesus and who he is. Father, may that announcement be bold and new and exciting each and every day of our lives as we know that you love us so much that you gave your Son. Father, we're grateful that we have this time to be together, this time to slow down in a busy season, and Father, to worship together. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for that gift. We thank you for your love. Father, bless us now and the things that we get to do here, the things that we share together as a family. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. I have limped my way up here to tell you that this morning we're going to be rejoicing. And, you know, it's interesting to me that at the birth of Jesus, it's the only time in our recorded history where angels sang and praised God in the highest heavens, and men joined with them, shepherds with their flocks. The wise men, they weren't there the night that Jesus was born. They didn't get there until way later. But there were shepherds, a bunch of guys who smelled like sheep, gathering around a manger. Folks, yesterday is Christmas Day. The world celebrated, some of them, the birth of Jesus, and some of them, another day that's fun. But our story is about Jesus. Our rejoicing is in a Father who had a plan to save all mankind, to send his Son for us. And this morning, David's sermon is about us rejoicing, about us worshiping God together. And so, I'm not going to be up here this morning. I'll be down there with you. And this morning, I want us to join our hearts together with the same joy that those angels had. Let's sing. Joy to the world.
And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove. And wonders of his law, and wonders of his law, and wonders of his law. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Father, we lift your name on high. We see Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We sing his praises among the heaven and among men. And Father, we know that you are with us as we worship, that you are here among us. Help us to truly know you, to know Jesus, to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And when we don't have the words, Father, help us to just yield our hearts. Help us to truly worship you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship. worship His majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
If you didn't get a chance to grab your communion packet, there'll be some gentlemen that are coming down the aisles that you can get those from. This morning, as I was thinking about something I'd like to share with you guys before we have this moment to share communion together, I looked at the song that was right before, Majesty, and I can't help but anytime I hear that song to have certain memories, and I think different songs kind of do that to us. But for me, Majesty actually has kind of a silly memory. Years and years ago, when I was in high school, we had made a trip down to San Antonio. We went to Oak Hills for church that morning. And when we got there, we're singing Majesty. And there was a whole group of us that we were excited. And then when we got through to kind of sing the second verse, all of a sudden it started saying, Majestad. And I was kind of like, whoa, what happened right there? It caught me off guard because we didn't know the day that we were visiting as a group was their missions emphasis day, and most of the songs were going to be in Spanish that morning. Fortunately, they had screens, and we were able to sing along, and it was actually really beautiful to do that, but it really caught me off guard. So every time I hear that song, I still almost expect at some point, maybe we'll start singing it in Spanish. When we get this opportunity to take this bread and this cup together, it's a moment that shouldn't catch us off guard. This is something that we make very intentional in who we are as God's people. And there may be lots of things in life that this, what we're doing right now, reminds us that all of that is washed away, taken care of. It is not something we have to worry about anymore, but it shouldn't catch us off guard. But at the same time, I think about that. Don't let it get so routine that it doesn't catch you off guard to think about the sacrifice that was made. And for these last few weeks, what we've been getting to talk about is this idea of a Savior coming, a Savior walking among us so that we could better understand who God is. And when we do that, it should catch us off guard. It should cause us to stop and to think, you know, hey, what's going on with this? Because sometimes we've made the story of what we do with this little packet something that doesn't catch us off guard anymore. So this morning, as we have a chance to commune together, I pray that during this time, God catches you off guard, that He reminds you of His gift to you. Let's pray together. Father, what a blessing it is to be your child. And Father, what a blessing it was for you to give up your child. Father, for the pain and the agony that he would suffer for us, for his body that would be beaten, Father, so that you could have us with you again. Lord, now as we take this bread, Father, I ask that we remember that it's the perfect gift.
the gift of your Son, the gift of redemption. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen. In keeping with this theme of being caught off guard, many of us probably have different communion thoughts that someone has shared with you at some point in your faith that you've heard that may really stick with you. And for me, one of them that caught me off guard was a Sunday morning that the man who got up and was talking about it, when he took the cup, he was wearing a white shirt and he spilled it on his shirt unintentionally. But then he turned it into kind of this whole little mini sermon there about the blood of Christ being poured over us, and that you don't see it as a stain. You see it as something that makes you clean, that makes you whole again. I'm not going to stand here and pour that on my shirt today. Nicole would kill me. But as we have this moment to take of this cup, we're reminded that it doesn't matter about all the blemishes, all the stains that we may still see in life. God looks at us because of that blood, and he sees someone who's been washed clean, made perfect in the blood of his Son. Let's pray together. God, thank you for not seeing us for who we are, but for seeing us as who you've created us to be. Father, it's because of this blood, because of this cup that we take now, that, Father, when you look at us, you don't see imperfect people. You see your chosen ones. You see the ones that you were willing to give up your own Son for, to reclaim. Father, again, we are thankful for that gift of your Son, for the gift of his blood that makes us clean. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Here is the story of Christmas. It all started with a girl named Mary finding out she was pregnant. Her husband Joseph could not believe it. Mary and Joseph had to go on a road trip to Joseph's hometown. I'm sure Mary was not super excited. Riding a donkey while pregnant is not my idea of fun. Anyway, they finally arrived in town, but there was no place to stay. The only place available was a stinky barn with animals. But then, Mary told Joseph it was time to have the baby. So right then and there, in the dusty stable next to the donkeys and sheep, a baby was born. They laid him in an animal trough and called him Jesus. This was not just any baby. He was special. Angels rejoiced. Shepherds came to see him. Kings traveled from afar. All because he was born to save all people from their sin. This is the Christmas story. It is the greatest story ever told.
All right, we're going to do our children's offering. That was your substitute for children's church today right there. So parents, I know you can handle it from here. Just a reminder, anybody is welcome to come up and give during this. All of the money that is collected last week and this week, the children's offering will go towards the tornado relief. If you want to give online, you can also do that to the disaster relief effort, Church of Christ. There's a QR code that you can scan. I think it's still in the bulletins, actually, this week, too. As our song plays, our kiddos can come on down and give this morning.
For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sins, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so.
I wish that all of you were able to sit close enough to watch the expressions on those kids' faces as they're giving. And I also wish that all of us had the same expressions when we're giving, and when we're singing, too. Remember, this is not a painful experience. We're going to stand together and sing about 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. And then David's going to come and speak to us.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. In your name, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to be together in fellowship. We're grateful for this season when we can share the message of Jesus with so many people. We ask, Father, that our hearts will be pure, that our vision of you will be holy, that we'll find in this season the greatness of your love in the act of giving and the act of praise. And we say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. Kind of in the theme of not to be taken off guard, as was mentioned. And it seems to have been mentioned a few times. Let me say a couple of other things not to be taken off guard with. One is we will not have a bulletin next week. We try to give Linda and Denise the week off next week. Now, they end up usually doing something, but we try to give them that opportunity. And we don't often say, as we should, our appreciation for them. You get a chance to just go by and tell Linda or call them or send them something and just tell Linda and Denise how much you appreciate them, because they work really hard for the church. We talk about all the issues with COVID and all that stuff. They've hung in there through all of this, and they've kept us going. I don't know what you want to call them. Some people call them the church secretaries. You might call them office managers. They're the directors of communication, as far as I'm concerned. They take care of letting us know what we need to know. And we try to give them this week off between Christmas and New Year's. And sometimes we fail miserably at that, because if something comes up, they're always willing to help us get things communicated. And we will be sending out some updates. But next week, you won't have the paper bulletin, and we won't have the big... I think this week's bulletin probably set a record online, because we had like 9 pages online this week. So check that out. If you're not checking out the online bulletin, you need to do that. And here's the other thing not to be caught off guard about. In that bulletin this week, you will find the statement that Wes read last week, telling us that he's going to be leaving. So if you weren't here last week and you haven't seen the bulletin, then that might take you off guard too. But Wes did. He told us last week about the new ministry that he's going to be going to, and we want to wish him the very best. So on the 16th, we're going to have kind of a going away luncheon for him and Nicole and Beckett and Bria, and we want to do that right. So please be thinking about that and wish him well. And Wes, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss your leadership in so many areas, and we thank you for what you've done. This morning, I want to preach out of Acts, out of Luke chapter 2. I started to say Acts. I was thinking about Luke and Acts together, but we're going to preach out of Luke chapter 2 this morning. If you have your Bibles, look with me there. I'm going to read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. And I want you to, again, we're dealing with baby announcements. The first one I talked about was the announcing of the pregnancy. And that's typical in our culture. You know, we get to a point where we announce that we're going to have a baby. And it's interesting how the Bible tells us that Mary was going to have a baby. So we preached on that. And then we came back and we talked about the gender reveal. That's a big thing on social media right now, you know, of doing this big reveal. And I showed you a video last week, and I could have showed you on a lot of them where people have tried this gender reveal and it doesn't go too well, kind of blows up on them. But boy, did they handle it well in the Bible when they were telling them about this baby that's going to be born and who he is and what he's going to do. And we were excited about that story. Well, finally, you get to the announcement that the baby's been born. And that's where we are this morning. The announcement that Jesus has been born. And I want you to see this morning the different things that happen in this announcement that Jesus has been born. So beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men to whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. All right, this morning, I want us to look at each one of these people who are announcing the baby has been born. There are four ways I see this announcement of this birth take place. First, you have Luke's announcement of just the historical perspective of the birth of the child in verses 1 through 7. And then in verses 8 through 12, you have the angel. The angels are announcing the good news of this birth of the baby. And then you have in verses 13 through 14, this heavenly host that comes down and announces in the sky this announcement of praise of the baby being born. And then in verses 15 through 20, you have the shepherds going and spreading the word and making the announcement as witnesses of what they saw at the manger. So to begin with, I want you to, and if you have your text open, just follow with me as we look at this again. Kind of review a little bit of what we just talked about. Notice how historical Luke makes his announcement. He just deals with, it's kind of like that old TV show about just the facts, ma'am. He said, here are the facts about it. He tells us about the time, who was reigning at the time of the birth of Jesus. He tells about the place and the significance of that place. He tells us the background of what's taking place at the time of why they're not in Nazareth. They're in Bethlehem and what's occurring. He tells us about the circumstances, that there's no room at the inn, and so Jesus is born in a manger and why that happened. And then he tells us about the facts of the event itself, that she gave birth to a child, and that child is the one that we've been waiting for. Now, it's almost like this announcement you see on the picture on the screen. Back at one time, and we don't see this much anymore, but at one time, before all the social media stuff, You might see an announcement like this in the newspaper, especially if you lived in a small town and had a small town newspaper, and you would see in the newspaper all kinds of facts, historical accounts of this baby being born. Not only would you know how large that baby was, and you would not only know the exact minute that that child was born and what it weighed and all the statistics and everything, but you would hear about all of the connections of the family, of who's related to who and so forth, and you had probably a lot more information that you needed to have. The facts, the history. One of the things that I think it's important for us as a church and all churches to remember is that we need to get the facts. We need to understand the history. We need to understand what the Bible says about an event that is so important in our history and why we exist as a church. You know, often our emphasis in church is about what we do on Sunday morning when we come together. Our worship time, our singing, our taking communion together, or whatever. But sometimes we don't understand the facts. We don't understand the history. I think it's shocking when you start looking at some of the polls that have been taken in recent history about people who claim to be Christians. They assert that they're Christian, and yet they know very little about what the Bible actually says about being a Christian. When polls that take questions, simple questions, out of the Bible and ask professing Christians about what they know of the facts in the Bible, they score poorly. In fact, the scores have continued to decrease through the last few years. And that's strange to me because we have access to Bible knowledge better now than we've had in all the history of mankind. You think about it. I mean, on my cell phone, I have the ability to look at the Bible in as many languages as I want to look at. I have commentaries. I have books of history about the Bible. I have Bible encyclopedias. Through the internet, I can gain all kind of information about the Bible and the history and the meaning of Scripture. It's available to us in a way that it's never been available to us before. And yet, as we survey people, we find out that we have less knowledge of the Bible. Why is that? Luke thought it was important in writing the account of the birth of Jesus to give us a historical announcement. This is the history. This is the facts. This is the information. Before he ever gets into the praise and the joy and the excitement and the spreading of the news, he said, let's get the facts first. Now, the facts aren't as exciting. I'm sure when we come together and we're going to worship, the excitement of singing together, having a great worship service together, is probably not as exciting as sitting in a Bible class listening to the lesson of coming straight out of Scripture. It probably is not as exciting as listening to a sermon that just comes straight out of Scripture. But Luke thought it was important before he started telling about the announcement by an angel, or before he started talking about the praise of this heavenly host, or before he talked about the shepherds and their excitement going out and spreading the news about the birth of Jesus, he thought it was important to first give a historical account with the facts. I think there's a lesson in that for us as a church. For all the things that we want to do to be a church, for all the things that we enjoy doing as a church, I think it's important that we never leave that narrative, that we get back to the Bible and we understand what the Bible says. I mean, when you get right down to it, Isn't it coming from the historical facts of the Bible that we do our praise? Isn't it there from that foundation that we do our worship? Isn't it from there that we have the message that we have to share with other people? If we don't go back to the foundation of the historical announcement of Jesus and his gospel, then what do we have as a church? And how do we build ourselves? And so as we look from this day forward going into next year, I think it's important that we always come back to the Word of God. We keep coming back to our foundation. But I just want to notice the foundation or the announcement of the angels. The angel is announcing this glorious announcement of the birth of Jesus. And in this announcement, the angel mentions these words over and over again. The glory of the Lord. The good news, the gospel, the story of this account is exciting. It's worthy of praise. It's something that people get excited about. But notice these phrases as the angel makes this announcement. The glory of the Lord shone round about. The good news of great joy about this child that's being born. That it's for all people. Now that may not surprise us. But can you imagine the information that's being passed on by this angel saying, this is not just for the Jews. This is not just for prophets to hear, or priests, or for kings. This is for all people. This is for everyone to know about. This is good news for everyone. It's for all people. And then the angel says, this baby that's been born is a Savior. He is the Messiah, the Christ. He's the Lord. What exciting news this is that the angel is announcing. And he says, he has been born in the city, the town of David. That's exactly what prophecy said would happen. So the angel is announcing not only this is good news, this is salvation, this is not only what we've been waiting for, but it's exactly what has been prophesied would happen. As strange as this may seem, here this baby is born and it's getting all this attention and it's born out in a barn. This may seem like it's not worthy of excitement, but I'm telling you, this baby born in this barn tonight is the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah we've been waiting for. This is the Lord. This is the King. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. Like Daryl was saying this morning, I wish we could get as excited about this announcement today as the angel who made that announcement on that day. Can you imagine? God says, okay, it's time to go. I want you to go down and I want you to make this announcement. Well, what are we talking about? What am I supposed to say, Lord? I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Well, I want you to announce that this baby that's about to be born is the Messiah we've been waiting for. And can you imagine this angel getting this information from God saying, really? Really? This is what we've been waiting for. Yes, this is it. I want you to get ready to go make the announcement. And I want you to announce that this baby that's about to be born is not only the Messiah that we've been waiting for, but this is the Savior of the world. This baby will take away all the sins that have been committed since Adam sinned in the garden. Wow. That's what I'm going to announce. Yes, that's what you're going to announce. I want you to go down and get ready to announce that baby, that's the Savior of the world. And not only is that the Savior of the world, this is the Lord. He's going to bear my name. He's going to be called what I am called. He is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, you know, this angel must have been about to freak out with the announcement he's about to make. This is so exciting. Now, can you imagine the angel? And I don't know how these angels do this, okay? So I'm not going to pretend that I know how they leave heaven and they go down and they get ready to do whatever they're going to do. But, you know, here's this angel, and he's making this announcement, and he had to think just for a minute. I mean, just for maybe a flash second. That's the Messiah? In that barn? That feed trough among donkeys and sheep, and that's it. And then the angel begins to say, that's it. That's it. That baby is the Messiah. That baby is fulfilling all the prophecies. This is exactly what was supposed to happen. That baby is the king. It's David's descendant. That's Abraham's descendant. That's everything that we've been talking about, all the announcements I've made forever. This is the fulfillment of it. Can you imagine the excitement of that angel on that blessed day to announce this? And we get the blessing of living on this side of it. What would it be like if you were born at a different time? Have you ever thought about this? What if you were born BC? And I'm not talking about before COVID. I'm talking about before Christ, okay? What would it be like? What if you didn't know about Christ? What if you knew anything about Christ, it was that he was going to come someday? That there were some vague prophecies about the Messiah going to come. What if you lived on that side of it? Waiting. Not understanding. What if you lived under law? Or what if you were without God? Think about the blessing that we have of living on this side of this announcement. And this should be something that excites us every day of our lives, that we live in the age of Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, who is the Savior of the world. All right, as this angel is making this announcement. Now, I don't know, okay? I don't know. It could be that God said, okay, you know, God's got this whole group of angels, all these people that are heavenly beings, that he's got ready to do this, okay? And maybe God says, all right, go, it's time. Let's get the choir pumped up, and I want you to go. I want you to fly up over that barn, and I want you to be singing, and I want your lights to shine. I want to get their attention all over the countryside. I want people to know this announcement. Okay, it's time to go. Now, that might be what happened. But another possibility. I don't know, okay? I don't know. Don't leave here and say, this is what David thinks, okay? I don't know whether I think this or not. But it's crossed my mind. What if God didn't send them? What if they were just so excited they couldn't hold them back? You ever thought about that? Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been so excited that you just found yourself just doing something that you absolutely had not thought about doing at all, but you were just up on your feet and excited? What about at the state championship? Huh? What if, were you in that stadium, you know, when our boys were running all over the place and winning that game? I mean, did you think about every time you got up out of your seat and you cheered and you shook your can and all of that? How many of you just thought through everything about that and you waited to be commissioned to stand up and praise? I'll tell you what Vicky did. This was not in the championship, it was in the semifinal. She was shaking that can so hard that the lid came off and the ball bearings flew all over the place. Now, that's Vicky, okay? Now, Vicky did not get the command to do that. But, I mean, she just jumped up out of her seat and she was going like this, and that thing goes like, and it's raining ball bearings, you know. I can see that. I could see that God kind of, what are you doing, guys? Because they're so excited because one of their angels is down there making this announcement. And they're saying, did you hear that? Did you see what? Look what's happening. This is the Messiah we've been waiting for. And it's like, whoom. They're down there and they're singing and they're praising, not because they have to, but because they want to. Hey, while we're imagining, okay? You know, we have spent a lot of science hours in astronomy trying to figure out what was the exact merger of stars that happened that the wise men were following. What if it was this? What if it was the moment when all of these heavenly beings got so excited that they flew down and they were around this barn in the sky, praising God and their light shining. And, you know, there's no scripture that says that they did it again, but there's no scripture that says they didn't do it again either. Oh, I would love for us to be more like this. That the good news is such good news that we just can't resist getting up out of our seats and praising God. Praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Because God has come to the earth. And we have seen the peace of God that comes because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But I want you to notice the announcement of the shepherds. The announcement of the shepherds is something I want us to really think about for a moment this morning before we leave. Because the announcement of the shepherds is probably the most like our announcement. And it begins with fear. An angel appears to a group of shepherds that are out in the fields. And it says, notice that they were living out in the fields. This is not like we take care of our cattle, you know, where we're in the house and we go out and we take care of them in the morning or as the sun is setting in the afternoon, you know, and then we go back and we sleep in our beds at night. These guys are living out in the fields with their sheep. And they're making sure that somebody's keeping watch all the time because at any moment, a wild animal may come and get in amongst the sheep and kill them or cause them to run off or whatever. And this angel appears to them and says, hey, a great event is about to happen. This day, in the city of David, a child is going to be born. And at first, their reaction is not excitement, it's not joy, it's fear. Who is this? What's going on? Why are you showing up here? They fall down in fear. That's their first reaction. I want to mention this to you because oftentimes at this time of the year, we don't mention the fear factor. We try to do everything we can to try to make this an exciting, encouraging, comforting time of the year. We remember the glorious birth of Jesus, how great that was. But I want you to remember that the shepherds' encounter began with fear. And I want to suggest to you that the joy that comes from the birth of Jesus, the joy that comes from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the joy that comes from the resurrection from the dead is not as great if you don't have some fear. If there's not some fear in your life, the joy of this doesn't mean near as much. I want you to understand that one of the reasons why these things mean so much to us as Christians is because in the backdrop of this is there's a certain amount of fear of God. If you don't fear God, if you don't have that respect for God, that God will judge you, that God holds you accountable for your life, if you don't have a fear that you might not be right with God, that you might end your life before you've got things right with God, that someday you may be judged and held accountable for what you're doing that's wrong, And God is going to judge you because of that. If you don't have that fear in your life, then probably the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus doesn't mean as much to you as it should. And I think it's important to realize that this great announcement began with fear. But secondly, notice that they searched out of curiosity. Let's go look and see what's really happening in this. And so they leave to go to the stable to find out. And they confirmed it by their own experience. I cannot experience your faith for you. As much as I would love to preach in such a wonderful way that you would have this experience of faith, that you would come to believe, and you would put all of your life into a commitment to this faith in Jesus, I can't do that for you. You alone have to have your faith and confirm your experience with Jesus Christ. And then they shared with confidence what they had witnessed. I know this is true because I was there, the shepherd said. I went to the barn and I saw the baby and I saw the angels and I saw the light that was there and I experienced this. I know this to be a fact. That child was born and I can say it with confidence. And that's something that we need to have, that we've experienced personally our faith and we can say with confidence what it means. And then they responded to it in worship with glory and praise to God. You know, if you come here and you're not excited about this story, what you do in your worship is probably because maybe you think you should. Or maybe it's because you just enjoy singing or you enjoy bowing your prayer in prayer or whatever it may be, but you probably aren't doing what you're doing because you're really excited about the message, the story of Jesus' birth and death and resurrection. And if you're really, really excited about it, you sing because you believe. You sing because you rejoice. You pray because you believe. And you pray because you believe there's an answer and there's a God who hears. It has to be your experience. So this morning, as we said this scripture, and I love the way that Wes led us a moment ago, and we'll do it again. When you read this passage out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, it needs to be your announcement. It needs to be your announcement out of joy, out of what you've experienced in your faith. And you need to understand that the reason why this passage is found in Philippians chapter 2 is in verse 5 it says, have this same attitude of humility that Jesus had. That he was willing to give it all up for the glory of God and for the saving of God's people. And we need to say this because the early church probably had this as one of its first hymns, its first Christian hymns. The way it's written, scholars believe that this was an early song that the church sang. And the reason why the church sang this was not because they had hymnals or screens with it up on the screen here. They sang this because it came from their hearts to begin with. They sang this because their faith moved them to sing this. They sang it because the early church says, we need to say this. This needs to be our confession. This needs to be our announcement. And everyone that we see, everyone that we can possibly share this confession with, we need to let them hear it because this is good news and this is worthy of praise. So I want to ask you to stand this morning. Would you go ahead and stand? And I want us to say this together. And on this first slide, I'll just read it, but I'd like for you to join me in saying the second slide, because this is the punchline, if you will. This is the conclusion. This is who Jesus is. This is what we're announcing to the world. This is what we sing praises about. This is why what we're doing has meaning. This is the real reason of what Christmas is really all about. So I'm going to say this first one, and then you join me in the second slide. And let's say this together. And then, Daryl, after we say this, then we'll sing together. And just remain standing for that. All right. I'll read this part. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the very form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. May that be our confession. May we say it because we believe it. May we say it because we've experienced it. May we be as excited about it as the angel who announced it. And may we be as confident about its impact as the shepherds who accepted it when they witnessed it. May it be our anthem. May it sing to the praise of God and to the salvation of mankind. And may we be known, if we're known for anything, may we be known for this. Not only because we believe it, but because we're trying to emulate the life of Jesus, who gave himself for others, and may we be willing to give ourselves that others may live. Let's sing together.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesus, name above all all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Please be seated.
David, thank you for the lesson this morning. Is almost behind us. Few more days. So if you've got something you want to get done that you've been procrastinating, you better get on it. Got a few more days. The eldership of this church thanks this congregation for all that you do. All that you do. We know about the money that's been raised a couple of years ago for the improvements of this building. The thermometer is full on this last capital gains, capital investments, and we're thankful for your giving spirit. And we have another opportunity. We have another opportunity to give to brothers and sisters in Kentucky and other states that's been hurt so badly by the disaster of the tornadoes. And this eldership wants you to know we're gonna be taking up money. As has already been said, there's been over $5,300 raised. And there's going to be some ministries here at this church, at your church, that's going to match some of those funds. But I want you to think for just a moment. True reason. Do it because we're commanded to help those that help, that need help. We're commanded to give to those that are in need. There's not going to be a lot of administrative money for this. That money's being sent to the Church of Christ disaster relief effort in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a good thing. And just give as your heart allows you to. Be reminded that it's not ours anyway. It's not ours anyway. God has given us abundantly, and he's asked us to be stewards, and part of being stewards as brothers and sisters in Christ is to give back when there is a need, and there's a great need for our brothers and sisters in the Midwest. Thank you for being here this morning, visitors. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege it's ours to worship with you. We know you had other options, but we're thankful that you decided to come and worship with us. If you're looking for a church home, we're not perfect people, but we're trying to do it as close to what our Father asks us to do, and we know that grace is going to save us. Amen. Continue to be a blessing to people around you. We're getting ready to start another year. There's opportunities that abound. Opportunities that abound. Be a blessing to those around you. Our prayer is going into 2022 that we would yield more to what God's will is in our life than what we think our will is in our life. Let's yield to our Heavenly Father and let's be a blessing to this community. Wes and Nicole, thank you. Okay, you don't get to leave without that being said, okay? Wes and Nicole are leaving us, and they've been a blessing to us. They've grown, we've grown, and we're going to continue to seek God's will as we go forward. So let's pray, and then one more song. Okay, let's pray. Be a blessing to somebody this week. Don't try to control everything, because your Heavenly Father's got a better plan than you do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Father, we thank you for this season of the birth of your Son. Father, we thank you for his love for us, that he came to this earth and he died upon that cross for each of us. Father, took our sins to that cross, and we're thankful for that. Father, help us to realize that we've got a new year upon us. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Father, help us to realize, help us to slow down and think. Every day that passes, we are your children. We're here to help your kingdom while we're here on this earth. And every day that we live, we're one day closer to home with you. And Father, we look forward to that. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we're not the people you need us to be. Father, help us to have more humility as we deal with people. Help us to see people through the eyes of your Son. Help us to be just as loving and forgiving and accepting as he was. Help us to be better people for the cause of your kingdom. Help us to make disciples out of people, and help us to lead more people to spend eternity with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. And it's in your Son's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
There's a reason for this life inside me. One name above all names, Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus. There's a reason for this hope. There's a reason for this peace that I know. One worthy of all praise, Jesus, yes, it's Jesus. I will lift my hands up, I will raise my voice high, I will shout out your love till the day that I die. Everything that I have, all my worship I, over sin.